O chief of all the saintly kings of the Pandu dynasty, who are strictly in the line of Lord Sri Krishna, it is not at all astonishing that you give up your throne, which is decorated with the helmets of many kings, to achieve eternal association with the personality of Godhead. Purport. Foolish politicians who hold political administrative posts think that the temporary posts they occupy are the highest material gain of life, and therefore they stick to those posts even up to the last moment of life, without knowing that achievement of liberation as one of the associates of the Lord in His eternal abode is the highest gain of life. The human life is meant for achieving this end. The Lord has assured us in the Bhagavad Gita many times that going back to Godhead, His eternal abode, is the highest achievement. Prahlad Maharaj, while praying to Lord Nrisimha, said, O my Lord, I am very much afraid of the materialistic way of life, and I am not the least afraid of your present ghastly, ferocious nature as Nrisimhadev. The materialistic way of life is something like a grinding stone, and we are being crushed by it. We have fallen into it, this horrible whirlpool of the tossing waves of life, and thus, my Lord, I pray at your lotus feet to call me back to your eternal abode as one of your servitors. This is the summit liberation of this materialistic way of life. I have very bitter experience of the materialistic way of life. In whichever species of life I have taken birth, compelled by the force of my own activities, I have very painfully experienced two things, namely, separation from my beloved and meeting with what is not wanted. And to counteract them, the remedies which I undertook were more dangerous than the disease itself. So I drift from one point to another, birth after birth, and I pray to you, therefore, to give me a shelter at your lotus feet. The Pandava kings, who are more than many saints of the world, knew the bitter results of the materialistic way of life. They were never captivated by the glare of the imperial throne they occupied, and they sought always the opportunity of being called by the Lord to associate with Him eternally. Maharaj Parikshit was the worthy grandson of Maharaj Yudhisthira. Maharaj Yudhisthira gave up the imperial throne to his grandson, and similarly, Maharaj Parikshit, the grandson of Maharaj Yudhisthira, gave up the imperial throne to his son Janmejai. That is the way of all the kings in the dynasty, because they are all strictly in the line of Lord Krishna. Thus, the devotees of the Lord are never enchanted by the glare of materialistic life, and they live impartially, unattached to the objects of the false, illusory, materialistic way of life. Nava idam raja shivarya chitram bhavatsu krishnam samanu vrteshu ye vyasanam raja kirita jushtam sadyo jahur bhagavad parshvakama. Main point here is that a saintly person is not recognized simply by his theoretical knowledge, or his learning, or his study. But he has to be recognized by his practical application of those principles of his learning. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was described by Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya that his process was Vairagya Vidya Nija Bhakti Yoga. Vairagya and Vidya. Renunciation and knowledge. And without knowledge, how can one renounce? How can anyone give up sense gratification unless he has knowledge? Why would he do so? We all want to enjoy ourselves, and unless one has knowledge that sense gratification doesn't actually satisfy or is not actually good for the soul, then why would he give it up? It's not that naturally we're inclined for renunciation. It requires knowledge. And when one has knowledge, just like if you go to drink what you think is a very nice looking cold drink, and somebody says, "Don't touch that." And you say, "Why not? I'm thirsty and I want to drink it." Say, "Yes, but there's some poison in there." Well, then immediately you lose all attraction to drinking that. Because knowledge. When you have knowledge, then renunciation is very easy. Now, bhakti yoga, it includes both. By engaging in bhakti yoga devotional service, one automatically acquires causeless knowledge and detachment from the world. And that's why Parikshit Maharaj, and that's why the Pandavas are considered greater than many saints. Because even though they acted like kings and they had royal opulence, gold, women, wives, everything, they weren't attached to it in reality. They were simply doing that as part of their duty. Sometimes people think that the guru is an enjoyer, materialist enjoyer, because he's sometimes offered nice things. He may be driven in a Rolls Royce car, or people give him gifts. They even give him money. So the materialists, they immediately think, aha, another materialist like me. But it doesn't mean that the Vaishnava is another materialist, because although things may come into his hands, he's like a viceroy. He gives it all to Krishna, to the Supreme King. He doesn't try to keep it for himself. If he does, then he falls down. Then he's not qualified. But if he hands it all over, passes on every penny to the real recipient, the one who really deserves everything to be offered to him. Now, we don't offer things to Krishna out of compassion. There's two types of service. One is called seva, and the other is called kripa. Kripa, or compassion, is to be given to those who are less fortunate than we. And seva is to be offered to one who's more glorious, more advanced. So when we offer to Krishna, it's not kripa. You shouldn't think, poor Krishna, he doesn't have enough food, I'll give him some food. It's like the rich people, they think like that. Yeah, he's poor, you know. Poor temple, I'll give some money. Give him some food. No. Even if they think like that to the Vaishnavas, it's not correct. The Vaishnavas also don't need food. Therefore, we don't want to too much encourage this mood of give to the devotees, give to Krishna out of your compassion. That's not too much to be encouraged, because it will generate the wrong mood. They'll be thinking more proud that I'm so advanced and so qualified that I'm even supporting Krishna. And I'm even supporting all of his devotees. Poor Krishna can't afford to take care of them, so I have to do it. No. Then he'll become proud and puffed up, and he won't be able to have the right mood of devotion. Actually, one should understand, this money that that's coming to my hand is not mine. It's Krishna's. I'm a thief. Therefore, being a thief is not good, and I have to give it back. That's the proper understanding. Not that I have money and poor Krishna and the devotees, they don't. No, this will lead to the misunderstanding. So our preachers, when they go out and they're encouraging people to give donations, they have to explain it to them properly. That actually this is Krishna's. What you have is Krishna's. He doesn't mind you using it, but still, you should only take what you need For keeping body and soul together, the rest should be given to him, because it's his. Now, you may, if you want to take credit for that, that I'm so generous, I'm a generous person, I gave all the stolen property back. Okay, well, that's not, in reality, it's not very sensible. If someone steals something and then he goes and gives it back and wants to be recognized and appreciated, oh, thank you, you're so generous, you gave back what you stole. So, another point here is that the Pandavas and King Parikshit, they knew how to utilize everything in the service of Krishna. That's real renunciation. Real renunciation doesn't simply mean to renounce something that you never owned, but proper renunciation means I realize it belongs to Krishna and I'll use it in his service. Therefore, one can even use, one can, one can use wealth, one can use all kinds of material things in the service of Krishna, provided he knows how. If he's not expert though, these things will become a source of bewilderment for him. Therefore, he should be very cautious. Generally, devotees, they like to keep themselves in a very simple. We teach our brahmacharis, don't acquire more things. Don't become burdened with more and more possessions and start thinking that this is mine. Mine. That's why women's association is considered very problematic for one who wants to make spiritual progress, because the woman is the vehicle for expanding one's material attachment, isn't it? Because if you're going to have a woman, you have to realize that you're a man. You have to think, I'm a man. How can you think I'm a pure spirit soul? Then what do you need a woman for? If you realize, I'm pure spirit soul, I'm not this body, I'm not a man, so then why am I getting a woman? She's not a woman either. We're just two spirit souls. We have nothing to do with these bodies, so what do we need to be, you know, having some kind of a intimate relationship? The whole thing becomes a moot point, as they say. It's just a moot point. So, the beginning of material entanglement or illusion is to think I'm the body, and then the next step is, because I'm a male or a female, then I need a male or a female as my companion. And then we produce, by coming together, then we produce children, then we need a home, and so many things escalate from there. So, therefore, in the beginning, the brahmacharis are taught, you're not this body. You have nothing to do with this body. Is simply a vehicle you use. Don't get attached to it. But it's not always so easy for everyone to capture the essence of that understanding right away. It sometimes takes a whole life, or maybe many lifetimes, to realize it, not just theoretically. We can say theoretically, I'm not the body, but when it comes to sense gratification, if we're still attached, it means we haven't really understood it. So, anyway, the Pandavas and Parikshit Maharaj, although they acted as Kshatriyas, they showed by their renunciation that they really were on the spiritual platform. Whatever Krishna wanted, they did. They were not attached that, oh, I'm a king, I can't do what Krishna wants if he asks me to do something. For first and second. Thank you.
They have two questions. The first question is, you said when we see the cold drink, but if there is poison, and somebody said if there is poison, and we know not drink this drink. And we are brahmacharis, and guru and shastra, they said you have to not associate with money and woman. But sometimes when we see some beautiful woman or some money, we just become crazy. We are too attached to these things. We want to speak with this woman, or we want to touch this, we want to have this money. And even if we have knowledge, but this knowledge not help, because we are too attached to these things.
But the knowledge is helpful, even if it's not perfect knowledge. Even if it's not fully realized, having some knowledge will slow down the process. In other words, it's like if you have no brakes, then when you step on the pedal, nothing happens, you go right into the wall. If you have good brakes, then you can stop very easily. If you have bad brakes, at least you slow down before you hit the wall. So you're not hitting it with full force. So you may live, you may survive. That's the Grihastha Ashram. You have some breaks, you may survive. Maybe, not sure. Brahmachari Sannyas means you have good breaks, you're stopping in plenty of time. You're not even getting involved in it. And no breaks means Grihamedi, means karmi life. Just no break. You step on the pedal, nothing happens, smash. You die for sure. Okay?
So the second question, you said, if we think that I am spirit soul, and we have good education for all children, so or boys, if we teach that they are not this body, they are soul, but good, very good, and we will destroy the family, because if we teach everybody that they are not soul, then nobody will like the family life. And
yes, but there's two answers to that. First of all, if everyone realizes their souls and servants of Krishna, and they become pure devotees, and they go back to God, then there's nothing wrong with that. That's a good thing. Finish up the middle. Nobody wants to keep prisons open. So if you go to the head of the city and say, look, all the citizens are becoming good now, no one's committing any crimes, what are you going to do with your jail? Then he doesn't mind, he'll use it for something else, maybe for classes. That's all right. He doesn't need prisons. Prisons are not required. In other words, this material world is not required. We're all feeling ourselves very benevolent that, yes, I'm working so hard to keep the material world going by, you know, producing progeny. That's like I have to go around holding classes, encouraging people to become criminals so we can keep the prisons open. It doesn't make any sense. And the second point is that you don't have to worry about it, because there will always be some souls that want to continue to procreate. Don't worry, it's not likely that everyone's going to lose their interest in procreation. We can see that there doesn't seem to be even a trend in that regard. Oh, over here.
Well, practically, we can see that devotees, they're receiving knowledge that they're not the body, but still they have certain traits, maybe some more kshatriya, some more vaishya, and so they, or sudra. So I know I'm not the body, but I have these propensities, and so let me have a nice grihastha ashram and engage in devotional service, find a nice devotee to assist me in the Grihastha ashram and to serve Lord Krishna and raise nice children and engage in activities within to help support the Varnashram, you know, as a Grihastha with the Brahmins and support and give, you know.
Yeah, it sounds nice.